All right, so on Perek Chav Gimel and Shmuel Beis Pasuk Dalet, and David HaMelech is speaking out his last words, what we said before, his last bit of Ruach HaKodesh, the machlokus between the Radak and Rashi, whether or not he had Nevuah. He says, Ka'or Boker Yizrach Shamash, like the light of the morning when the sun shines, Lo Avos Minoiga, a morning that is not overcast, Mimatu Desha Ba'aretz, from all the rain that comes forth from the grass on the ground itself. He said the following. He said, listen, the way that my kingdom is described is sort of like the sun after the rain, right? When the sun shines after the rain, the earth's produce grows bigger and better, etc. It's not like something that we've had up until now. It said, David HaMelech, my kingdom is going to get greater and greater and greater. It's just going to grow until it becomes the level of Mashiach. That's what it's going to be like. That's how awesome it's going to be. Yonas Ben Uzziel actually says this refers not to now, but rather to what's going to be with the sun lost level. Then in the future, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everything, he says that everything will shine 343 times greater. He said 343 times that, like the light of the seven stars, 7 days, etc. That's going to be the Or La'asit Lavo. So that's what's going to happen, and that's what's referenced to over here. It's going to be like the Or Boker in the future when Mashiach comes. Kilochein Basi, my house is not the Oyim El, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kibris Olam Samli Arucha Bakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an eternal bris with me, right? That's going to be set in ways. It's going to be safeguarded Shemura. Kikol all my needs and all my desires, nothing else will flourish. Everything will go the way it's supposed to be over here. There's no other lasting dynasty, David HaMelech was saying. There's no other lasting dynasty that a person could have. It's all there and everything is perfect in everything you're supposed to do. Nobody else, says Rashi, was supposed to have power besides me. And that's the idea that said David HaMelech. No matter what happens in the future, I'm going to have everything that I possibly could need. And that's the idea, of the concept of Mashiach. When David HaMelech was alive, right, everything was great. Everything was really, really good. It's only afterward that things went bad by Shlomo HaMelech and then eventually by Rechavam. But at the times of Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech, everything was good. It says in Pasuk Vav, Ubelial kikotz munad kulahem. As for the wicked, all of them will be discarded as thorns which are not taken into the hand itself. Meaning they're going to be their thorns, says Rashi. They start off really, really soft. And in the end, they become really, really hard. And it's so too with the enemies. Enemies are exactly that way. They start off really, really soft and they end up becoming really, really hard. That's what's going to happen. It says, V'ish yigabahem, if a man touches them, if he touches the thorns, try to take away the thorns, yimale barzel, he should be replete with metal. He should have armor all over him. V'etz chanis, he should have a spear. U'ba'esh sarof, he should be entirely burned. Yisorfa bashavas, when established, that's what's going to happen to him. He's going to be utterly burned by a fire itself. Unless he protects himself, there's no way he won't be. And the idea, says David HaMelech, is if a person thinks that they'll be able to survive by not worrying about the Rishayim around him, and he'll be perfectly fine, says David HaMelech, that's never going to happen. You always have to worry about what's going to be in the future. Always worry about what's going to be, because the thorns take away from everything you have. Okay. That brings us up to Pasuk Ches, which is a brand new thing. Those were all the last words of David HaMelech. Now we're going to go into something that we mentioned similarly up above. Earlier in Perek, the end of Shmuel Aleph, it mentions the different people that were in charge by David HaMelech. Look at what it says over here. Ela Shmosa Giborim Asher LeDavid. These are the names of the strong men by the times of David HaMelech. Yoshev Basheves, he's the one who sat in wise counsel. Tachkamoni, he was a wise man. Rosh HaShalishi, the head of the captains. Hu Adino HaEtzni, this refers to Adino HaEtzni, al Shmona Meos Chalal B'Pamachas. He was able to kill 800 different warriors all at one time. You know what I forgot, Dave? I forgot to call up our friend. So I'm going to call him right now. What? Yeah, I'm sorry. I just totally forgot him. I'm calling him up right now. So I'm putting him on. Either way, but this is what it says, that this man, Adino HaEtzni, was able to kill 800 people at one time. Hi, I'm putting you on. I got you on speaker. Okay, there we go. So there we go. That's what it says over here. Now, here's the confusing part. The word Shalishi that's used in this pasuk is very confusing. Now, in one thing, it can mean over here, three, head of the three. Other places, it could mean captains. And that's how Yonas Ben Uzziel says throughout, it refers to captains. In other places, it connotes 30. Even though it says Shalishi, right? It could also be read as Shloshi. and it's missing the mem, and therefore it's referring to 30. Now, the pashup shot is that whenever David HaMelech went anywhere, he was accompanied by three personal bodyguards, right? This one that he had over here was Adino HaEtzni. He was the first of David's warriors, and that's absolutely unbelievable, right? That was one thing that he had over here. Now, some say that he was a person who was fearless. He was a leader of body and spirit. He was a person who sat among the sages of Sanhedrin, and he was able to kill, as we said, 800 fighters, right, at one time. He was able to kill 800 people in one battle, which obviously is almost completely impossible. But the Medrash in Moed Katan Tezayin Mabei says this is not a separate person. Adino HaEtzni is David HaMelech. In Moed Katan Tezayin Mabei, it says David HaMelech humbled himself when he was learning Torah, and he made himself almost like a worm, allowing himself to sleep on the ground and to drink and eat things that were whatever it was. He was the head of the three, meaning he was one of the Avos, and he was actually in charge of the Avos. When we say that he's a head of the three over here, David HaMelech is going to lead La'asad Levo. The famous Gemara in Pesachim says that everybody, they're going to take the Koshal Bracha and ask someone to bench, and Avram's going to say no because I had Yishmael, and Yitzchak's going to say no because I had Esav, and Yaakov's going to say no because of what happened with the Shvatim because he married two sisters, and everybody's going to go through until they get to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech said, Kos Yeshuos Esel V'Shem Hashem Akra. He's going to be able to eat. He's going to be the one in charge over there. Now, again, Adino is, again, he was Adin. He was soft. He was Ma'adain. He was like a worm. But when he went into battle, he made himself hard. He was an Anav and yet a Gaivadika person when he needed to be, like a tree when he had to be over here. Now, there is another opinion, the Medrash says, that it's not referring to David HaMelech. It refers to Yoav. Throughout this whole Perek, where we go through all the warriors of David HaMelech, shockingly, nowhere do we see Yoav. Yoav doesn't appear once the entire time. And that right there is a shocker. It should shock you. He's the greatest of the warriors. How could he not be mentioned? So some say Adino HaEtzni is a reference to Yoav. And again, his Talmudic scholarship, along with the fact that he was a warrior, everything like that, that he was able to kill 800 people. David HaMelech had a Rebbe. His name was Iri Iri. He actually had two Rebbeim that we know of, and a third that was sort of Achitofel, right? We know he was a Rebbe. His Rebbe was Mephibosheth, but a third one was Iri Iri. Iri Iri, while David HaMelech was alive, Iri Iri would sit on pillows and cushions and teach all the people, and David HaMelech would sit and listen. After Iri Iri died, David HaMelech became the Rebbe, but even though he's a Rebbe, he sat on the ground. He rejected all comforts, and that's what it means. Hadino HaEtzni, at first, the Rebbe was someone who was softer, and then he was hardened. It became like that. David HaMelech, if he only killed 800 people in a battle, he bemoaned the fact that he wasn't able to kill the other 200. He was sad that he wasn't able to do it, because the Pasuk in the Tochacha mentions, right before the Tochacha, says that Echad Yeradof Aleph, one person will be able to chase 1,000. And he said, how did I miss out on the 200? And he was answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know why? Because of Uri Achiti and Bat Sheva. Because of what happened with Uri Achiti, you lost out on 200. All right, Pasuk Tess. V'achrav Elazar ben Dodo, ben Achosi. So after him came Elazar ben Dodo, right? One of, again, this is, I guess, the son of Dodo, ben Achosi, a man of Achosi, although it could also be the son of his sister, right, which is his nephew, Bishlosha Giborim, HaGiborim, by among the three warriors in David, that were with David, Bechorfim Baplishtim. When they taunted the Pelishtim, Esu Shem the Muhammad, they gathered there for war. V'yalu Yish Yisrael, all of Yisrael went up there. Who come? He got up a Yapa Pelishtim, and he killed the Pelishtim. Aki Yaga Yado until he was weary. V'atid Bak Yado Alacherev, and his hand was stuck to his sword. V'yasu Shem Chua Gedolah B'yamahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a great salvation on that day. Yashuvu Acharav Achlev Hashet, and the people returned all after him only to strip the corpses. That he really did it on his own, this man Elazar ben Dodo, seemingly the son of his uncle, right? Ben Achosi somehow married his sister. I don't know what it was exactly, but somehow it's right over there. It seems that they were the ones who knocked them down with anything. They endangered their lives by going up against the Plishti army, and they were extremely successful right over there. Now, the Ralbag says a crazy pshat. The Ralbag says that Elazar killed so many Plishtim, his hand was filled with blood, and the blood congealed on the sword to the point where he wasn't able to take the sword out of his hand. That was the miracle, and therefore there was nothing left for anybody to do. He was just able, literally, he was stuck to the sword and kept going further or whatever it was. His fingers locked around the handle in such a way that there was no way for him to let go. Others say it was just great force. He had such force with it, that's what ended up happening. It's funny, by the way, what you don't see in many of the whatever the things out there is that the swords back then had to be cleaned constantly. If they weren't cleaned, they rusted very, very quickly. So any time that you killed somebody and you had blood on it, you had to quickly dry it off on the ground, like rub it on top of grass or whatever it was to get rid of the blood and then go through. Quite often, they would do it underneath their arms. They would clean it underneath their arms, which meant their clothing was absolutely filthy. But that's what they had to do in order to get rid of the blood, because otherwise it would just be disgusting. And that's what happened over here. He didn't have time to do so, and therefore his hand was congealed on the sword itself. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'achrov Shamma ben Age, ben Age. Then came Shamma, the son of Age, Harari, the man of the mountains. Now, Shamma is the name of one of his brothers, but this obviously is not that. That man was killed many, many years ago. David Melech's brother was killed in Moab. Remember, there was only one that survived. But by the way, V'asfu plishim l'chayo, the plishim gathered in a massive company. The battle, says Rashi, refers to Achaya because it's wild and it looks like anything could happen. V'tisham chalkas asodeh, there was a plot of land. Malei adashim was filled with lentils. V'am nas mipnei plishim, when people ran away from the plishim, he stood among those lentils in that part of the field, V'itzilaha, and he saved the people or defended it. V'yachas plishim, and he killed all the plishim. V'yachashim shua gedeila. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a huge thing that happened right over here. Now, it could be that the plishim themselves were ravaging the fields and taking away all the food from the fields themselves, and that's what it refers to over here. It could also be, and that's what it means, Lachaya, they were acting like animals trying to take it away right over here. But then comes the Gemara. Anybody who's done the sixth parak of Bava Kama, right, knows that this parak is a reference to what was going on in the fields out there. That the men of Israel had come to harvest a plot of land that was filled with lentils, but they were frightened away by the plishtim. Some opinions, it was really made with barley, and even though it says adashim over here, right, it was really filled with barley. Either way, they wanted to go ahead and take those barley, they wanted to take it, and the plishtim chased them away to prevent them from doing it. Shamma had to fight them off. He stood in the middle and destroyed them completely. And then comes the great medrash that deals with this over here, what happened over here, in which some say, David HaMelech had the kasha, am I allowed to burn down the fields where the plishtim are hiding and destroy Jewish fields that are filled with lentils in order to pay them back lichatchila with barley later on? Am I allowed to do that? Am I not allowed to do that? It's possible that's what it refers to over here. But that's the Gemara over there in Bava Kama. Vayirdu shlosha me'ashloshim. Three of the heads of captains went down during that time with those 30. Rosh. They went down. Vayavoel katsir. They came to the reaping. El David al-Mu'ruz Adulam. To the cave of Adulam. Now, if it's the cave of Adulam, then it's possible. This happened way earlier when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul HaMelech. Because at that time, that's when that was happening. V'chayis plishtim chona be'emek Rephaim. At that time, the company of the plishtim, they were encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Emek Rephaim, which we all know today, is the street Emek Rephaim, right outside of Yerushalayim. That's where they were all camped. There was that area right around over there. Some say that the people, the group of the three over here, is not referring to the original Adino, Elazar, and Shammah. Some say it refers to Avishai, Ben Yehu, and Yoav, and that's the three over here. Some say Shimi Ben Gera is included over here. Some say the Ralbag and Barbanel says the leaders, over 30 people. The Mari Karen Rashi says it refers to captains. Whatever. There's so many different opinions on how to understand this over here. But regardless, it says, V'David Ozba Matsuda. David was then in the stronghold. Matza Plishim Oz Beis Lechem. The garrison of Plishim at the time was in Beis Lechem. If you remember, David HaMelech was from Beis Lechem. That's where he was from originally. So V'yis'aved David. David desired. V'yomer, and he said, Mi'ashkeni Ma'imi Bor Beis Lechem Asher Bashar. Who could give me water from the pit of Beis Lechem that is right by the gate? The Radak says, simply put, it was summer, he was thirsty. So he said, I really need water. Can anybody get me any water? And that's what happened over there. But the Abarbanel says, David never intended for people to bring water. That's crazy. The plishtim are sitting over there. Nobody would have wanted to do such a thing. It's that David was longing for days gone by. He said, oh, if only I could have that water. He never meant for people to get it. So the Radak is saying he wanted people to get it and the people went and get it. According to the Abarbanel, he never wanted people to get it. Right? But the people were so dedicated to David HaMelech, they were willing to go ahead and do it. He was longing for the good old days. The Radak says he regretted having said it after he actually said it, but regardless that they did that. Vayivku shloshes giborim v'machna plishim, the three strong men broke through the camp of the plishim v'yishavu mayim. They drew water, mibor beis lechem, from the pit of beis lechem asher b'shar, right by the gate. Vayisu, they carried it v'aviu ol David, they brought it to David lo avali shtosam, but he didn't want to drink them. And instead, he poured it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He refused to drink it because he didn't realize that they were going to put their lives on the line just for a little bit of water. Tosfos Rid says this is not as a korban. He never meant for it to be a korban itself. He poured it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show he doesn't want people endangering their lives for silly things like that. Right? That's that. Some say that this was Sukkos. And what do we have on Sukkos? What kind of, what do we have? Nisach HaMayim. So they libated the water and they put it out there. Some say pouring it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an expression of thanks. He davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said modim, and he poured out everything he could to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show the appreciation that he had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gave him such faithful servants who were willing to do everything over here. But that's at Vayomer, and he said, Chalila li Hashem yasos hizayis, Chalila to me HaKadosh Baruch Hu from doing this. Hadam anashim aholkam and afshoisam, the blood of the men that endangered their lives to do this. Vavalishdosam, Ela asu shloshet giborim. He didn't want to drink it. This is what they did, these three men right over here, these strong men right over there. Now, that shows you the three things that they did was absolutely amazing. The Abarbanel says, number one, one guy was able to pass through the garrison without being noticed. Number two, they, despite dropping their defenses in order to draw the water, nonetheless, they were not killed by the enemy warriors. Number three, they successfully went back. Not only did they get in, draw the water, and get out, they were able to do all this. They didn't spill any of the water that they were carrying, which is absolutely crazy over there. Now, if it was Sukkos, and it was referring to Nisach HaMayim, it was Mutter, because at that time there was no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, this is on a Bama, and just like by a Bama, you're allowed to bring a Korban outside of the Mishkan, outside of the Beis HaMikdash itself. They could do this over here, and that was not a problem whatsoever. They could go ahead and do such a thing. But Bava Kama, Samach Amar Aleph, I think we mentioned that before, says this entire reference over here is to Torah. David HaMelech had a Shai and knew that it could not be answered by any of the people that were with him, he needed to ask a certain Rebbe that was in Beis Lechem. And it could very well be the Rebbe that he had to ask in Beis Lechem was his own father, Yishai, if Yishai was still alive. Because Yishai was the Roshiva with 600,000 students who was sitting in Beis Lechem. And he had that, and he was trying to figure out exactly what the halacha was. Now, the Gemara goes through, and that's why, at the end of the day, when they brought in the water and they answered the kasha, he said, I don't want to take it. Because a person who puts their life on the line to answer a shaila, you are not allowed to use that halacha. That halacha was paid for by the dam of the person who brought it. That is absolutely usher. But the other opinions. We mentioned this a little bit before. David was confronted with the following problem, like we mentioned. David's warriors had set fire to a field that belonged to a Jew in order to get the plishtim out, right? Now, there were vessels there. The vessels were hidden by the straw. What's that called? Tamun. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayiv for tamun, to pay for that with a fire. His kasha was, do we hold like Rabbi Yehuda and your chayiv for Tumen and they had to pay for the kalim? Or are you putter because we hold like the Rabbana? Now, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana did not exist yet. Not for another 700, 800 years. Maybe 700, 800 years. So that didn't happen. But he wanted to know what the halacha was, and that's why he wanted to have that shaila. Rav Huna says, no, it wasn't that. It was a barley-owned lot plot of a Jew. The question was, could they burn the field down and pay them back with the expenses in order to knock out the plishtim and then pay them back later on? Others say it was knock down the barley field and pay them back with a lentil field. Can we do that? And they said, normally you can't. That would be considered stealing. But you're a king. And a melech poreitz geder la'atma. A melech is able to be poreitz geder. He's able to knock down a fence for whatever they want. That you're allowed to do. And therefore, that should be meant for you over here. You're allowed to do that. Okay. Pasuk Yuchas. Vavishai, Achiyo ben Tzruya, hu rosh ha-shalosha. Avishai, the brother of Yoav ben Tzruya. He was the head of the three. V'o'ira eschanisa al-shalosh me'eschalal. He brought out his spear over 300 corpses. V'lo shem ba'shalosha. He definitely had a name among the three. Mina shlosha achinechbad. Out of these three, he was the most celebrated. Vayilam lasar v'ad shlosha lovo. And even though he was the greatest star among them, he still didn't come to the other three that we mentioned before. Shama, Adino Etzni, and what was the third one's name? And the third one's name was Adino Etzni, Shama, and Elazar ben Dodo. He still, as great as Avishai was, and as big of a general he was, he still did not have the power of the original three. He did not have a name among the other three. Now, you should know, by the way, some people say, when it says velo shame bashlosha, he had a name among the three. It's velo is spelled with an aleph. He did not have a name among the three. That he was not like those three, and it mentions it twice. Okay. Benio ben Yoyada, Ben Ish Chai. Benio ben Yoyada was known as the man, the son of a living man. The Gemara says, what? Is everybody else the son of a dead man? Why is he called the Ben Ish Chai? The answer is because he was the son of a man, meaning he learned Torah so much, even when he died, he was considered a tzaddik and never really died. He was alive even after he was dead. Rav Pa'olim, he did great things. Mekav Tzael, he was from an area called Kav Tzael. Huhika Shnei Ariel Moav, he destroyed the two heroes of Moav. Vuyared Behikas Ari B'socha Bor B'yom HaShalig. And he went down and hit the lion, killed the lion in a pit on the day of the snow. right? He did all that. Pretty good feats over here. Benioh, Benioh, we're going to see him more when we get to Shlomo HaMelech. There's quite a few stories that deal with Shlomo HaMelech itself. Now, there's a lot behind this pasuk. First thing is first. Benioh, Benioh is buried right outside of Tzfas. If you go outside of Tzfas, if you take the 95 a little bit further north, you're going to be able to see Benioh, Benioh's plot. Did you go there? Did you see Benioh, Benioh? You went up north to Tzfas? Oh, that's why he didn't. Okay, so Benioh ben Yehuda is buried right outside of Tzfas itself. You can only see it. It's on the road. It's in the middle of nowhere. When the Ben Ish Chai, when Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad came to Eretz Yisrael for the very first time, when he went through to see the Arizal's kever and the Beis Yosef's kever and Ramosha Corvadero and everybody else, he stopped by this area and he said, something's here. And he realized who was buried there. And he said, I am a spark of the neshama of this man. Finding out that it was Benioh ben Yehuda, Benioh ben Yehuda was buried there, he decided to name every single one of his Sfarim after this Pasuk. So therefore, the Sfarim of the Ben Ish Chai are Ben Ish Chai, which is in this Pasuk, Ben Ish Chayil, which is actually the Ksiv of this Pasuk, it's written Ben Ish Chayil, Benioh, Ben Yehuda, Rav Pa'alim is the name of the Shalos HaTshuva. So if you look up at my shelves right over here, the Rav Pa'alim is right over, where's my Rav Pa'alim? Oh, those two Sfarim right over there. I have two Sfarim. Oh, here we go. Shalos HaTshuva is Rav Pa'alim, because the Shalos HaTshuva is Rav Pa'alim right over there. If you look up there, you have the Ben Ish Chai on Torah, the Ben Yoh on Torah, the Ben Ish Chai on Drashos. You have that Deres Eliyahu, which is a different issue altogether. Then over here, where do I have my Ben Ish Chai and Alachos, right? He named all of his Sfarim after that. I have the Ben Yoh and the Ben Yoh right over there. He named all of his farm after this pasuk, Mikav Tz'el. That's a really high level sefer that I don't have in this house, right? But everything like that. Now, in Pashupshat, he said like this, on cold and snowy days, lions are generally more dangerous. These are Asiatic lions, by the way, not African lions, but they are more dangerous in that area. And therefore, because of that, if the lion was in its own habitat, therefore definitely more aggressive, and it was cold, and he was starving, and Benioh didn't hesitate, even though he was cold and he wasn't at his best, nonetheless, he entered into the pit, slew the lion, so the deed was doubly amazing. That's how the Ralbach puts it right over here. Rav Gedalia Shor says, the remez is you can't be lazy in Torah. You have to have total concentration no matter what. So even if it's cold outside, even if it's really hot outside, you have to make sure you have everything you need to be able to learn, possibly in every good way over there. Okay, Rav Pa'alim Mikavtzael means he was Reba Vekivetz. He increased and gathered workers in Torah. So he had a lot of Talmidim. The Ariel Moav, there was no one that compared to him in the Ariel. Ariel refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody compared to him in the first or the second Beis HaMikdash. He was just that awesome. And there are those who explain that the biggest thing that he did was he broke a hole in the ice and he dipped there to go to the mikvah even on a day of snow when it was freezing. Pretty good, right? Others say that he learned the entire Sifra, known as Toras Kohanim, in the winter when it was freezing outside, when nobody else was able to learn, he was able to do it over here. They definitely have a reference to him right over here. That's pretty good, right? It was not bad. Some say that Benioh ben Yehuda was a Kohen priest. He was an actual Kohen, which should have disqualified him from going into battle against all of Israel's enemies. However, because this is a Melchames Mitzvah, therefore he participated, and therefore he was able to do it, just like Pinchas, right? Pinchas had done it before. Zimri and Cosby, et cetera. Zimri and Cosby, et cetera. Yeah.
How do you fight the lion?
How do you what?
How did you fight the lion?
You mean with that? Who yared behika sa'ari besocha bor v'yomashelag? On the cold days, he went to go figure out the what? To go to the mikvah?
No, to hit the lion.
To hit the lion? To kill the lion? I guess it was a dangerous lion. Yeah, could be. Maybe the lion was already eating people, so he wanted to take care of like the lions of Tsavo. You know, the bottom of the field museum. No idea. Who knows? But there was something happening they had to take care of. And now we have the famous line of Gezela. How do you know what Gezela is? How do you know? Gezela is stealing, right? What's the definition of stealing? It's from this pasuk, pasuk Chav Aleph. Vuhikas ish mitri, he killed an Egyptian man, ish mare, he was a man of imposing appearance. According to the Gemara, he was 5 amos tall. That means he was 7.5 feet tall. You're talking about Shaq. That's how big this guy was. Ubiad mitzri chanis, in the hands of the Egyptian, was a spear. Vayered alav bashavet, and he went down, right, with a staff. Vayigzol esachanis, he stole the spear, miyad mitzri, from the hand of the Egyptian, vayargeu bachaniso, and he killed him with his own spear. Right, that's what he's able to do. Gezela is when you take something from somebody while that person is right there. You take it from him and you use it against him. That is gezela. Geneva is when he doesn't know about it. Gezela is when you do it right there. Ela also Benioh ben Yehuda v'loshem v'shloshe geborim. This was the deeds of Benioh ben Yehuda. He had a name among those three great people. Shloshe nechbad. He was celebrated among those 30 and among the captains. V'shloshe labot, but he was not comparable to the first three. Adino, Shama, and Elazar ben Dodo. Vayisemeo David al-Mashmato, and David al-Melech appointed him to his council. Chazal say he was the Av Beis Din, and he was the head of Sanhedrin. Asoil, Achiyov, Asoel, the brother of Yoba, Shloshim, he was among the 30, Elchanan ben Dodo, Beis Lachem, as well as Elchanan ben Dodo of Beis Lachem. We're going to see over here, there might be 31 if we count everything up right over here. Abarmanel says, okay, we're going to see names and whatever it was, but either way, we'll see what happens. And Pasuk Chotei. Shama Hachorodi Elika Hachorodi. Chelet Apalti Ira Ben Ike Shatkoi. Avi Ezra Ansosi Mivunai Hachushasi. Tzalman Achosi Mari Hanutofasi. Chile Ben Bana Hanutofasi. Ita Ben Rivai Migivas Bnei Ben Yamin. Bnei Yo Parasoini. Hidai Minachle Goash. Avi Alvon Haravasi. Azmoves Habarchumi. Aliach Bo Hashalavoni. He was from Shalvon. By Bnei Ashen Yehonason. Shama Haharim. Hahari, we said them already. Achiam ben Shara Arari, Elifelet ben Achasbi ben Amachosi, right? Eliam ben Achitofa Agiloni. Then we have Chetzrai Hakamli Parai Haarbi, Yigal ben Nasa Mitzova ben Agadi, right? So we say Tzelek Amoni Nachrai Habeirosai, Nose Kleov, he's the one who carried the Kalim of Yob ben Tzruya, Ira Hayisri, Garev Hayisri, Uriah Achiti. Altogether, there are going to be 37. Now, counting it all together, if we count the first six, right? That means there's going to be 31 instead of 30. We wonder who the 31st person is. Some say it's Yoav. Others say a bunch of different things. When we say Tzelek Amoni, some say he was from that area. It wasn't actually in Amoni, but he was from the area of Amon, and that's why they counted over there. The Abarbanel says the 37 altogether is the three bodyguards of David HaMelech, right? The three that we mentioned before. The three warriors who broke through the Pelishti encampment in order to draw water for David. And Yoav. Those are seven plus the 30 that are mentioned over here. There's Radak as well. He says Beniob and Yoav might be counted over here. Maybe you count him, right? Go through. There was a lower stature by some of them more than the other. It is interesting, right, that it stops right over here with Uriah Hachiti. In Divrei HaYamim, there are more names added. Some say because this Sefer, right, it doesn't mention Uriah Hachiti over there, but the reason why is because in Divrei HaYamim, the whole Sefer is supposed to be all the awesomeness of David HaMelech, so we don't want to mention Uriah Hachiti when we're dealing with the awesomeness of David HaMelech, because obviously Uriah Hachiti was not the awesomeness of David HaMelech. That's the one thing that he may have done wrong. But over here in Shmuel and Avi, it's supposed to tell us the historical facts that we get over here. Okay, beautiful. We're on Perek Chav Dalet. So let's go to Perek Chav Dalet now. What ends up being. So Perek Chav Dalet is the end of Shmuel Beis. Vayosef Af Hashem Lacharos B'Yisrael. The anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu burned against Bnei Yisrael. Yosef says David. He instigated David Bahem. Lamor and saying to them, Lech Bnei Yisrael V'Yehuda. Go take a tally. Go make count Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda itself. Now you have a huge kash over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him count Bnei Yisrael. You cannot count Bnei Yisrael by going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're not allowed to do that. You have to do it by Chatzi Shekel or something else, right? Shaul twice counted Bnei Yisrael. One time he did it by counting One time he did it by counting with pottery shards. The second time he did it by sheep. You can do it with that. In Parshas Ki Tsitzit, we did it with Machzitzah Shekel. You're allowed to count Bnei Yisrael that way. But what in the world is this? The Radak said he had an impulse. He had an impulse that he could have resisted. But he couldn't. He just didn't do so. But he could have done it. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael had done something wrong. What they had done wrong? Okay, there's a little bit of akasha. Maybe it's because of all the times that they came up against David HaMelech in the times of Avshalom, and then later on by Shimi ben Gera, and then a little bit later on by the times of, of Sheva ben Bichri. They kept rebelling against David, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? They deserve to die. David HaMelech wasn't able to kill them. They all deserve to die, so therefore he did something to be able to knock them out. It could be that's the reason why. Now, why is it bad to count them without giving a chatzi shekel? Because there's something called an ayin Hara. Ayin Hara goes up against you, and therefore you got to be really careful over here. Now, another reason why this might have happened. In Brachos, Samach Beis Mabez, it says, David HaMelech said to Shaul, if it's God that has incited you against me, then I'll deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what, you think I was the one who incited Shaul against you? Am I an instigator? Fine, I'm an instigator. I'll incite you to be able to count Bnei Yisrael when you're not supposed to count Bnei Yisrael. Thus, even though the Torah says explicitly you shouldn't take a head count without counting something there, David HaMelech was convinced to do it on his own. Some say that the sin over here was not because of what David HaMelech said before, but rather that he wanted to do this unnecessarily. It's mutter to count Bnei Yisrael if there's a need. If there's no need, then you don't do so. For example, we're in the middle of a census right now in America. The reason why you're allowed to do a census is because they want to know how to divide up money properly. There's billions of dollars of aid that they're trying to give out. Therefore, they want to know where are the constituents now? Where are the people living? And therefore, that seems to be a necessary component. David HaMelech had no necessary reason over here, and therefore it was a problem. The Rabbag says, no. He wanted to conduct a census relying on the support of the multitudes to the people rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. He figured if we're going to war, we might as well find out how many people I have. And that's ridiculous, because David HaMelech knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on his side. He never needed this. That was a problem, and that was a trust issue. So far we have three problems with David HaMelech. The number one, he said that God is an instigator, right? Number two, because it was unnecessary. Number three, because he put his trust in numbers, not in them. We had one reason for B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael had kept on going up against David HaMelech, and therefore was right there. Number five, the Ramban says in the Torah that the reason why it was bad is because they had no desire for a Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the Ramban says David HaMelech kept asking for a Beis HaMikdash, but the people didn't. The people didn't want it. That was a problem. How could they not want a Beis HaMikdash? And therefore was really, really, really upset. Some say, yeah.
David. Oh,
yeah, so we want to know what the numbers were afterward.
Yeah.
So the Malbim says that. He wanted to know, is there, number one, do we need a draft for war? Or he wanted to know how many numbers were left after all those incidents to try to see what was happening over here. That is definitely another issue. The Malbim is another issue with David HaMelech that we count as number six, but that's 100% true. Number seven, an interesting one over here, is that everybody was silent about David and Bathsheba and nobody said anything. B'nai Yisrael should have said something, they should have gotten up, and when they didn't get up, therefore it's a problem. And we already mentioned the Abarbanel, who says it was because they had an insurrection that went through. It's interesting. There are 10 times where the people were counted. I'm not going to go through it right now, but the Medrash lists the 10 times where they were counted. V'yomer Melech Yoav, the king said to Yoav Sarachayil, who was the officer, the general of the army, Asherito that was with him, Shut na b'chol shivti Yisrael, go through all of B'nai Yisrael, midan v'ad Be'er Sheva, from Dun until Be'er Sheva. Dun is all the way up north, Be'er Sheva is all the way down south. Peek to us, count the people, Yadati Yisrael Mitzvah, I want to know the number of the people itself. And that's where they darshan over here, by the way, that it was not unnecessary. They didn't need it, therefore it wasn't right over there. Now, again, it could be, as we mentioned before, Rav Saadia Gaon says that he wanted to see if anyone was left who was part of Avshalom's rebellion, right? That's a thing that we mentioned before. Some say that the 70,000 who subsequently died in the plague were the same ones who rebelled against David HaMelech, and they actually died, those people that we're going to see later on. The word shoot, though, comes from the word satan. The same way the satan was involved this entire time, David HaMelech said, I want you to go through Eretz Yisrael, and you should have realized right there was a bad thing. Vayomer Yoav HaMelech, Yosef Hashem Elokecha La'am, Kayim V'Kayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should add to the people this one, that. May upon them 100 times over. May the king's eyes see it. But my master, the king, why in the world do you want this over here? Now, simply put, he said, I don't understand. This is going to engender disaster. This is what happens whenever we count the people. Why in the world would you want to count the people and not do anything else? What are you thinking over here? The Ramban says that he assumed he was going to use, that David HaMelech was not at fault here. He told Yoav to count the people, assuming that Yoav would count the people with a chatzi shekel. Ramban says that David HaMelech did nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong here. He figured it was that. But because it was unnecessary, that's why he was punished. But the Ramban says that Yoav was at fault here for not using a chatzi shekel. It was Yoav that was at fault. The Abarbanel says the fact that he didn't do it, Yoav was the one who was wrong. Now, why didn't Yoav do it? Simply put, he wanted David HaMelech to be in trouble. We've seen many times where Yoav has gone up against the king, time after time after time again, and eventually he sides with Adoni Yahu instead of Shlomo HaMelech. This is something that Yoav kept trying to do. So in other words, he rebelled against the king and was killed for it later. Pasuk Dalet. Vayechazak Dvar HaMelech al Yoav. But the king's word prevailed over Yoav. Val Sar Yechal against the officers of the army. Vayitzi Yoav Sar Yechal lifnei HaMelech. They went out. Lifko to Am Yisrael to count the people, B'nai Yisrael. Now, halachically, Yoav could have refused. He could have said, the halacha is not this way, and therefore I don't want to do it. The same way that Shaul's officers refused to kill Novi or Kohanim, and Doeg Adomi did it himself. They could have refused, but they didn't. And therefore they are at fault, and maybe even more so according to the Barbanel. Pasuk Hey. Vayavru Asiyar, and they crossed the Jordan River. Yachnu Ba'aro Er. They camp by Aro'er, Yemina Ir, right of the Sidar Shabbosach Nachal, that's inside the river itself, Agad. The El Yazir, all the way to Yazir. Ve'avoa Gilada. They came to Gilad, Ve'el Eretz Tachtim, Chodshi, to the area of the newly settled area of Tachtim. Ve'avoa Dana, they came to the city of Dun. Ve'ya'an, Ve'savil Sidon. Then they came to Ya'an of Dun, and they circled around to Sidon over here. Rashi says the reason why they started by Gud is because Gud were mighty warriors. If he starts with God, maybe God will say, no way, we're not going to be counted, and they'll fight us, and we'll have to call off the census. That was the first thing that they had over there. Then they went to Tachtim. He went to the south, where there were many, much fewer cities. So the numbers would be super low. When he sent it to David, maybe David would be discouraged and would stop the census, and that's why he was waiting for it to cancel. Then he went up to Dun. He went all the way up to Dun. And he went in a strange place. He said, well, look, there are idolaters up in Dun. Maybe they will object and they'll bring an end to the census themselves. Maybe it'll be something like that. Either way, regardless, over here, there is a subtle rebuke here of Bnei Yisrael that they didn't stop the count. He purposely went to Gud and eventually all this way, a circuitous route, in order to make sure that they would eventually protest, and nobody did it. That's the strange thing. Vavo Mivtor Tor, he came to the fortress of Tor, Vacholor, Achivi, Vaknani, Vayetu, El Negev Yehuda, all the cities of Achivi and the Kanani. They went down to the south of Yehuda, Be'er Sheva, all the way to Be'er Sheva. Yeshut Vachol Arts, they went through all the land. Vavo Mivtor Tisha Chadashim, it took 9 months. Esrim Yom, Yerushalayim. 20 days later, they came to Yerushalayim. It took a long, long time, because again, Yoav did it super slow, because he didn't want to do it. So he thought that however much he could delay, maybe that would be the best thing, right? Some say that he came right, they set out immediately after Sukkot in Yerushalayim, after the harvest season. They went throughout the entire winter itself, and then they came back at the time of Pesach, at around that time over there. Vayiten Yoav is Mispar Mifkara Amal HaMelech, and Yoav gave the number of the people. Mispar and Mifkat is the exact same thing. We'll see in a second. Vatili Yisrael, Shmona Meos Aleph. And there was, for Bnei Yisrael, it's written in feminine form because they were weak at the time. 800,000 Ish Chaya warriors, Sholev Cherev, who were able to use the sword. V'ish Yehuda, Chamesh Meos Aleph Ish. And another 500,000 men in Yehuda alone. That's how many people were in Yehuda alone. It's absolutely crazy. Now, the reason why it says two counts is because at first Yoav gave the lower count. The reason why he gave the lower count is because he wanted to stop right there so that if there was a curse, the curse would only go on the lower count, not on the higher count over here. Some say that Yoav said to a larger family, just give me whatever number you want. He didn't tell them to whatever it is, just to do an inexact count, and therefore the numbers were so there. Now, there is a drastic difference between the count that's mentioned over here, right, and what happens in Divrei Yamim. Over there, Divrei Yamim, it says there were 1,100,000 warriors. Over here, there's only 800,000. In Yehuda, right, the warriors of the king's tribe, it was 470,000. Here it's 500,000. So everybody asks, what in the world is going on here? Why are the numbers so different? 1,100 versus 1.1 million versus 800,000 over here. So again, the first answer is, because again, he wanted to minimize it. He wanted to say only 800,000 of the curse would only be on them, not in all the 1.1 million. That's one answer over here. Number two, Levi and Binyamin did not want to be counted, so he didn't count them. So he didn't count them whatsoever. Yoav figured he could get around without counting them whatsoever, but once they were counted, Binyamin and Levi put it all together, that would be added them on. But that's a weird one, because the place where it says that Levi and Binyamin weren't counted is in Divrei Yamim. It says in Divrei Yamim, Levi and Binyamin weren't counted. So to say that Levi and Binyamin weren't counted over here, but where it says 1.1 million over there and Levi and Binyamin weren't counted, it's weird. It sounds like it's 1.1 million without Levi and Binyamin. To say that's the answer is really a strange one. Baraita Rabbi Elazar de Midos says that whenever you find two psukim that are contradictory, there's always a third pasuk that answers it up. The answer is, there's another pasuk over there that mentions that there were tons of officers who served the king. If we count all those officers, it was another 300,000 people. Those officers that served the king was 300,000 aside from the 800,000 over here. So altogether, there was 1.1 million, but there were 300,000 altogether. All those answers are for Bnei Yisrael. Why the discrepancy of the numbers between those and all the others right over there? Right around. What about Yehuda? What about happened with Yehuda over here? Over here it's 500,000, over there it's 470,000. What's the difference right over there? So it could be, maybe there was the number of warriors, the men who drew the sword, right? Over here we're just saying the Ish Yehuda Chamesh Meos Elav Ish. It could be that over there it's the Sholev Cherev, there's only 470,000. Here we have 500,000 men that technically can make the army, but only 470,000 could actually use their sword. Maybe they weren't well known for their military prowess, those other 30,000. It could also be that in Ezra, there were 30,000 men in Yehuda who died as a result of the plague. So although there were 500,000, 470,000 survived the plague that was about to happen. Or, simply put, it's rounded off. We see round offs everywhere. Maybe that's the round off over here. And Pasuk Yod, Vayach Lev David Oso Achrei Chen Sofer Zo'am. David's heart troubled him after he counted the people. Yod David Hashem, Chatasi Me'oid, Oy Vey, I sinned horribly. Shor Asisi, the fact that I did the Vat Hashem, Haver Nos, Abon Avdechog, Neskalti Me'oid. Please, remove my sin, he said. I become very foolish by doing this over here. Right? He could not believe that he had actually done it. He couldn't believe it. He said, how in the world did I make this happen? What in the world happened over here? He couldn't believe it. Yakum David Boki got up in the morning, Dvar Hashem Hayol, Gad Navi Chose David Laimor. And the word of God came to the prophet David's seer, saying the following. Now the Radak says, specifically, Gad HaChose was the Navi of David HaMelech, because David HaMelech was not a Navi. He had Ruach HaKodesh, but he was never a Navi. Whenever he needed something, he would send for one of his prophets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would already have called to Gad or Nasan, whoever was supposed to be, and he would go over to David HaMelech, and that was that. So that's that. that. That's the idea behind it. Dov and Amelech spent the entire night davening and doing tshuva, hoping that nothing bad would happen to the people, confident in the morning that nothing bad was going to happen. That's when God came to him in the morning and said, Haloch v'dibartol David ko amar Hashem. Go speak to David, Hashem said to God. Go say, so says Hashem. Shalosh anichonot elecho, b'char lecho achar mehem v'esaloch. I present you with three possibilities. Choose one of them and I will do it to you. So Rashi says there were three options, mida keneged mida, for the three possible deaths he wished upon Shaul. When he saw Shaul Melech, he says, as God lives, either HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kill him, his time will come and he will die, or he'll fall in battle. That's what he said in Shmuel Aleph, in Perek Chav Vav. The fact that he said that meant he was given three choices over here, one of the three that's going to happen over here. Maybe, right, the triple punishment was to parallel the three assaults on David's authority. Number one, by the time of Avshalom, Ish-Boshes. Number two, by Avshalom. And the third, by Sheva ben Bichri. And maybe that's the idea behind it. He was able to knock down two of them, David and Melech, out of love. He was able to knock down the three punishments they were supposed to get. And instead of having all three, they only had one. Vayavo God el David. Vayagilo, and he told him, Vayamalo, Hasavu lecha sheva shanim rab. Would you rather have 7 years of famine baratecha in your land? Mim shlosh chodashim nuscha lifnei terecha, or 3 months where you're running away from your enemies, and he'll chase after you. Or do you want 3 days of a plague in your land? Know and see, what should I return back? What's going to be over here? Some say that the 7 years of famine are in 4 years in addition to the 3 years they already had. Remember, they just had 3 years of famine. Should it be 7 years altogether, a famine altogether? Right? Is it that they're going to be defeated in battle and David HaMelech is going to run for his life while many Bnei Yisrael are going to run by the sword? Right? What's it going to be where the Psikta tries to put the two together because of the war? There's going to be 7 years of famine, etc. Right? However, if you look over here, the Medrash says that the seer already gave him the answer that he should say. Sholchi Davor, right? The word Davor is really from the letters Dever. Choose Dever. Choose the plague for 3 days. He was influencing him to choose that. Vayomer David el Gad, the famous line that we say in Tachanun. David HaMelech said to God, Tzar li ma'od, I'm in a lot of pain. Nippelin of Yad Hashem, I'd rather fall into the hands of God, Ki Rab Rachmav, because his mercy is great to be Yad Anolapolo, rather than fall into the hands of man. If I am subdued by the enemies, that's in the hands of man. If it's famine, we're going to rely on our neighbors, which is man. I'd rather fall into hands of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, let a Kaddish Baruch Hu take care of us, and that's why I want the pestilence. So even though he was told what to do, he gave a svara as to why he was going to do it over here. He said, we can't rely on others. It's less of a Chilul Hashem with a plague, says the Radak. We have to do this. And plus, the fact that it's going to be much shortened, right, that's the idea behind it. Some say that after that happened, altogether was supposed to be 3 days, altogether is 72 hours. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's going to be 72 hours, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu then took it and halved it and made it 36 hours instead of 72. And said, all right, I'll make it 36 hours. The 7 days of Shabbos came and begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take it off. So it went from 36 to 29. Then the 8 days of Bris came and begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take it off. So that's eight. It went from 29 down to 21. Then came the five books of the Torah and the three Avos, right? So that brings it down, number eight, that eight, that brings it down to 13. Then the Ten Commandments came down to three, and then the two Luchos as well, brings it down to 1 hour. The 72-hour fast, because of all these Chuyos, brought it down 35 hours to 1 hour of the pestilence. And even in that pestilence, look how bad it was. What's up? Okay, they didn't have that. Vayitan Hashem Dever Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a plague among Bnei Yisrael, book about Eitz Moed. I'm sorry, what? Did somebody say something?
No.
Okay. Vayitan Hashem Dever Yisrael, book about Eitz Moed. Yo, what's up, David?
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we sing that song at the end of the Seder.
Yomer David O'Gud? Oh, that song that I just said?
Yeah.
No, that's cute, but not true. All right, Vayitan Hashem Dever Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a plague among Bnei Yisrael, book about Eitz Moed. From the morning until the appointed time, there died from the people, from Dun all the way to Be'er Sheva, 70,000 men, right? All the way, 70,000 men. Now, we don't know exactly what Eitz Moed is. We don't know exactly what that is, but I will tell you the following. Some say it began in the morning, and the midday is when it stopped. Now, that's not like what we just said, because we just said it was 1 hour, right? Others say the appointed time is sunrise. It mamish went from what's it called, dawn until sunrise. 1 hour, and that was that. Some say it was when the Tumid offerings, the blood was sprinkled, and that's the Eitz Moed. Either way, some say it was until its completion, right, whenever the 70,000 people were dead and right over there. Now, David HaMelech saw the Malach HaMavah standing right on. He descended from the heaven, struck down four of his sons, David HaMelech's own sons, and the Zekanim were supposed to be there. David HaMelech began to tremble and shake. The Malach HaMavis wiped off his sword and the king's garment. Remember we just said that everybody has to wipe off their sword? He wiped off the king's garment. He was so afraid. David HaMelech almost died. And that's why we'll see in the beginning of Malach HaMelech that he became aged, advanced in years because of what happened right over here. He could not handle it whatsoever. That's how bad it was, even though it was just 1 hour. By Yishlach Yado HaMalach Yerushalayim, right? So the angel sent forth his hand by Yerushalayim L'shachasa to destroy all of it. By Yinocham Hashem Alorah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, forget it. I'm done. It's enough, he said to the Malach HaMashkes. Take away your hand. Malach Hashem Haya Im Goren Haravna Hayavusi. The Malach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting at the granary of Haravna Hayavusi. This area was the Beis HaMikdash. This area was where Haravna Hayavusi, that's where David HaMelech eventually would daven, he'd pray, etc. This is where he did over here. God HaNavi instructed David HaMelech to make a Mizbeach there. After he had done it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought out a massive fire, stopped the plague, made sure that everything was going to happen right over there. Now Chazal tell us that the 70,000 men is really a reference to Avishai. Avishai was the person who died. He was the only person who died at this time. He was the last one to be mentioned over here. Avishai ben Tsruya, he's the one who was equal to 70,000 people of Bnei Yisrael. So some say it was altogether 70,000, some say it was just that. Okay, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see that made him stop? He saw the Machsa Shekel, he saw the Beis HaMikdash being given. He assumed that everything was going to be okay, right? And that's the idea behind it. After the Chatzi Shekel was given, right, I guess as a kapara for all Bnei Yisrael for being counted in the wrong way, that stopped him and said, okay, that's that. All right, we only have like 8 psukim here. I think we should probably stop right away. We'll probably start here. Let's see what we can do. So let's see what we got. It says, in Pasuk Yudzayin, by Yomer David Al Hashem, Beroso is a Malach HaMakava Om. When he saw the Malach killing the people of Yomer, he now, Nochi Chatasi, I sinned, Vanochi Avesi, I've done evil. The Eilatzon Masu, what did these sheep do, Bnei Yisrael? Tino Yodcha Bi, Uvevesa Bi, let it be on me, on my father's house. The Shulah Kadosh says, doing tshuva caused a harmful influence to go off the sinner and to go upon you. He said, let me be punished, allow it to be on me, don't let them go through. David, in Pasuk Yud Ches, God came to David Yomahu Vayomalo, Alei, Hakim Lashem Mizbeach, Begorin Aravana, Aravna Yavusi. Go bring a Mizbeach on the Gorin, by that area of Aravna Hayavusi. It's interesting. His name technically is Ornan, and that's what he's known in as Divrei Yamin. But Aravna seems to be a title of power. He was the king, as we'll see in a second. But see Avodah Zarah Chavdalam Avez on this. Vayal David Kidvar God, Kasher Tziv Hashem, he went up to that area. Okay? And they were always wondering, where exactly is the Beis HaMikdash? From this, they realized, this is the area of the Beis HaMikdash. This is where Yerushalayim has to be made. Chazal say, at this moment, David HaMelech made the part of benching, Uvnei Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh B'mherav Yameinu. That's what he made right at that point. Vayashkev Aravna. Aravna saw all this. Vayarot HaMelech V'Zavadav, he saw the king, and he saw all of his servants over him love coming to his area. Vayitzeh Aravna, Aravna came, Vayishtachel HaMelech HaPavarte, and he bowed down to the ground. Remember, he was a Yavusi, he was not a Jewish man. Vayomar Aravna, Madua Baladuni HaMelech HaLavdo, why did you come to me? Vayomar David, Liknos Meim Chaz, Agorin, Livnos Mizbeach LaHashem, I came to buy from you this land to build a Mizbeach for Hashem, but Te'atzar Magefa Me'ala Am, so that the plague will stop. Right? That's the idea behind it. So Aravna just looked at him. He's like, why wouldn't you send a messenger? If I knew the king wanted to see me, I would have certainly have come to him. Why don't you just send a messenger? But it was David HaMelech's hope that his sacrifice would bring a swift end to the plague. He didn't want to give that over into the hands of anybody else. He wanted to do it himself and make sure there was going to be there. Right? That's that. Ezra tells us in Divrei Yamin that when Aravna saw this with his four sons, they went into hiding. They saw the Malach HaMavis as well. They went into hiding. Vayomer Aravna al David, Yikach. Whatever, just take. V'yaludin yamelach, tobe enough. Take whatever is best for your eyes. V'yabakar lo'ilo, you can take my cattle for olas. V'amorigim o'klei abakar lo'itim, you can use the wood for my threshing equipment and everything like that. Right? You could do everything. I'm willing to offer absolutely everything. It was 100% sincere, and he did offer it wholeheartedly. But David HaMelech absolutely wanted to pay because he didn't want to take it from him whatsoever. It's not because it might have been used for Avodah Zarah. If so, he wouldn't be able to buy it anyway. He knew that Aravna was either a ger or a ger toshav, and he wasn't worried about that whatsoever. His reasoning was, it had to be something given from Klal Yisrael, and he wasn't sure anything else. Plus, a burnt offering has to be a communal offering. If it was given from just one person, it wouldn't be kosher. Pesachov Gimel, Hakonos and Aravna HaMelech LaMelech. Ravna HaMelech, the fact that he made a deal with the king, we call him the king now, although he very well may have been a king of the Yevusim that were still alive. By Yomar Ravna LaMelech, Hashem Elokech Yirtzecha, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept you with favor over here. And that's that he ended up taking right over there. Some say Aravna was a direct descendant of Avi Melech, and he actually was a king. king. He should have been the melech, but the Yevusim were now under Jews' power. Vayomer ha-melech al Aravna, lo, ki kanu eknem eoschal b'mechir, I'm going to buy it from you for a price, lo, ala la-shem elokai, olos chinam, I'm not going to bring up olos for nothing, v'yikan david as a goren, v'yaz ha-bokar v'chaser, shkolam chamishin. And he bought the goren and the cattle for 50 shekel kesef. In Divrei Yomim, it says, actually, it was 600 shekel kesef. It was 50 shekel kesef per shevet, right? But in the end, he actually did 600 shekel kesef. Some say that, no, it was 50 shekel kesef for the direct area. He paid 600 shekel kesef for the whole area. Some say that the 50 shekel kesef, right, was 650 silver shekel kesef. But when he saw how much it actually was worth, he gave 600 later on, thinking, you know what, this is more important. This is a really important place. I don't want any machloksim about this. Funny, we clearly bought the area, yet the Arabs own it. But even Shem Dovim Yisbeach, LaShem, he built him Yisbeach for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Yal Olz, Shalom, he brought up Olz, and Shalom, V'yatzar Hashem La'eretz, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu granted the pleas of the land, V'yatzar Ma'gefa Me'al Yisrael, the plague fully stopped. It said, so it was all restored, everything happened over here, and Baruch Hashem, everything was good. The reason why we end over here is that, number one, it meets up with Melech HaMelech, with what happened to David HaMelech, but it also shows that David HaMelech was virtuous even at this time and deserving of everything. Everything was good, even though obviously there were problems. The Beis HaMikdash was eventually going to be in this place, and David HaMelech knew it from the fact that the Malach was there and from the fact that everything had to be in that area. It's amazing that David HaMelech was shown this right over here, which shows that even the count, which he shouldn't have done, was still a bracha in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's mind. And the reason why is because even though obviously there were issues with what he did over here, and he probably shouldn't have counted Bnei Yisrael in the first place, but nonetheless, it led to the Beis HaMikdash. Just think about that. That is the greatness of a person like David HaMelech, that even when he does something wrong, even when there's something that's bad, his tshuva is on such a level that he's always able to bring the Beis HaMikdash at any time. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. That's an awesome ending to Shmuel Beis. Have a great night, Saul and David. We'll see you guys later, all right? Have a great week.